Sportsnet 650.
My first visit to this lovely city, albeit a very short one here, just getting in last night and practice today at the University of Pennsylvania in a pretty cool old rink called the Class of 1923 Arena, which felt like something out of Slapshot walking in. The benches on the opposite side, the penalty boxes together on the one side with one of the benches, and a nice little intimate 3,000-seat arena that the Canucks practiced at today.
Who would be anybody play hockey at the University of Pennsylvania in that barn that they have a statue or a plaque up?
They've got a club team right now. I don't think there are any notable alumni. In fact, the University of Pennsylvania hasn't played in the NCAA since the late 70s. So they play in the ACHA, I believe it's called. And so no, there wasn't a plaque or a jersey or anything on the wall, but still one of those arenas that has character. And it was sort of fun to walk in and see that earlier today.
All right. So Philip Holm is with the big club. We heard him talk to you a little bit earlier. How does he look? Does he look a little different from what you saw in the preseason?
I mean, it's pretty hard to tell from practice. It was a situation where he was rotating in on the fourth pairing, I guess, because Tanev and Stetcher were both skating. So, I liked him in spurts during the preseason. I think it was a situation where, obviously, it's a big adjustment coming over to the North American ice. And, I'm sure you heard him talk about it earlier when he said everything happens a little bit faster when there's that confined space. So, he's had a chance to go down to Utica and work on that and play some games. And obviously from an offensive perspective, he's had a good start to the season. And this call up, I think for him is more of a reward than anything. Barring any more injuries on the blue line, I don't imagine he'll get into games on this trip, particularly with Travis Green telling us that Stetcher and Tanev are still on target to return here on this road trip.
Do you think though, he passes the eye test, doesn't he? Philip Holmes, you look like, well, okay. Big, smooth on his skates. Do they look at him as a project, although he's older?
Yeah, I agree. I think he does pass the eye test. I'm not sure how much of a project he's going to be. He does look like he's pretty close to being NHL ready. And I know some of the other numbers in the preseason maybe didn't lay that out. And he was guilty of being under pressure a bit and turning the puck over. But I think that's something that will come with experience. Now, whether he ends up projecting to be an NHL defenseman for them long term, we'll have to wait and see. But I agree, he looks like a guy that could develop into that. And for someone they signed as a free agent out of Sweden, if he can, play NHL games for them, period, then I think that's probably a success story of turning nothing into something.
I know you mentioned that you don't expect him to see in the lineup, especially on this road trip. But for a team that's struggled a bit to get the puck out of their zone, is it a huge stretch to say maybe he does get one of the six games?
I think it does, because I think, as I said, unless they have injuries, I can't imagine him going in at this point. They've done fairly well with the group of six guys they have in right now, and I know it's maybe been a struggle over the last couple of games, but I don't see, Alex Biega or Derek Pouliot or anyone getting a healthy scratch so that Holm can get into a game. I think, really, if we're honest, the reason he's here is because if they waited one more day to send Patrick Wierkosz back down, then he would have had to go through waivers again. So they wanted to get him down to manage the asset that way. And because Holm's been playing well down there, it's a nice little reward for him to come up and make an NHL paycheck and get to practice with the big team. And the coaching staff can work on some things with him. But unless they have more injuries on the blue line, particularly with Tanev and Stetcher so close, I don't think he's going to get into a game.
What do you sense is the biggest concern of Travis Green as they embark on this road trip?
I think consistency overall. And I think obviously they've had some success away from home. It's an opportunity for them to get back out on the road here and try and string some wins together. But they've got some pretty tough opponents coming up. And, all along we've been talking about this month of November and looking at the road heavy schedule and saying that we were going to learn a lot about this team. Well, I think we're going to continue to learn a lot about them here, particularly on this trip. You've got a back-to-back against the Flyers, who maybe have struggled of late, but have arguably one of the best offensive lines in the league. And then you've got the Pittsburgh Penguins again on Wednesday, which will be no stiff challenge. And then the New York teams will each present a challenge of their own. So I think, it's a measuring stick part of the schedule where You play a lot of games in not too much time against some pretty good clubs. And if they can come back from this road trip at 500 or better, I think it says a lot about the quality of player they have in the room. That said, if they struggle on this road trip, it may say a lot about their eventual standing at the end of the season as well.
We've seen Brock Besser play amazing hockey. Last game, that move that he set up his own goal, created his own goal out of almost nothing. Just a great play. But how much can we expect of this kid? He's a one, you know, a point per game player right now. Does that speak to what else is needed for this team as far as consistency across the board and secondary scoring?
Yeah, I think secondary scoring is big, and I think it's going to be very big on this road trip in terms of dealing with whether they win games or not, because of the fact that Brock Besser isn't taking anybody by surprise anymore. Obviously, his numbers speak for themselves. You can look at the rookie leaders in the league, and you see him right there near the top. Teams are pre-scouting Brock Besser now. They know what he is, and they know that the Canucks' most dangerous line by far is that Horvat, Berchi, and Besser line. So they're going to see a lot of key matchups here on the road, and it's very possible that their offense is going to be limited at times because of it. So that's where you have to look to some of the other lines to get contributions. And early in the season, the Canucks were getting that out on the road, that first Eastern swing that they had where they picked up some pretty important wins, and, you know, we're getting contributions from throughout the lineup, and Derek Dorsett was in the midst of his goal-scoring spree. That is the Canucks that will have success this season, when they can get contributions offensively from other areas of the lineup. But I know Travis Green talks about this all the time, and I agree with him that, quite frankly, this is a team that can't have average nights or off nights throughout the lineup if they want to succeed. So if the Horvat line is stymied or shut down by some of these tough opponents they'll see out here in the Eastern Conference, then it comes down to the secondary scoring. And guys like Marcus Granlund, who's had a slow offensive start to the season, or Daniel and Henrik, who you want to get going here. Jake Virtanen ties in on that line as well. And then the Dorsett-Sutter line, if they can get some offense going, that's always a bonus too. They're going to need scoring from elsewhere to have success on this trip. And I think to have success, period, this season, they're going to need contributions offensively from throughout their lineup. And another area, too, is getting scoring from the blue line, which they definitely haven't had enough of.
No, they need that. And I think that's what everyone said, that Travis Green was going to play a game where the blue line, you know, they had the green light to go jump in. That, to me, is the biggest concern when you're getting no help at all from guys on the blue line.
Yeah, I think it is a pretty big concern. And I think we see the defensemen are active in the offensive play. They do pinch. They do jump up into the play to hold pucks in at the line. They do join the rush. But I think it probably speaks to the fact that this club doesn't really have an elite-level scoring type of defenseman. They don't have that power play quarterback kind of guy that maybe people might have hoped that Michael Delzotto would be here early in the season, but you know, he's had his hands full defensively, and his plus minus shows it. I believe he's got the worst rating on the team because of how much time he's had to play here early in the season, and I think he's probably had to play more minutes than they would have even hoped with the injuries to Edler and Tanev and Stetcher and some of their pretty key guys going down. So Chris Tanev leads the blue line in scoring with 2 goals here, and I don't think that's something that we would have expected to say at this point in the season, particularly when you look at the St. Louis Blues, who just came in and coming off the win in Vancouver, they now have 21 goals from their blue line. I think it's a pretty big part of the game, and secondary scoring applies to the defense too. Anytime you can get someone from the blue line chipping in offensively, it's going to help. And the Canucks have had little to no help in that area of the game thus far this season. So it's definitely concerning and definitely something that they will hope to remedy going forward, I'm sure.
Play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks on Sportsnet 650, Brendan Batchelor joining us, Perry Silkowski and Randeep Janda on point.
Batch, Jake Virtanen played another 9 minutes this past weekend against St. Louis. Were there mistakes? Absolutely. He made mistakes on the ice, but so did a lot of veteran guys who played a lot more than he did. I'm of the opinion that if you're making mistakes in the defensive zone, at least get the young guy out there so he can learn from them. Do you think that's going to change anytime soon in terms of ice time?
I don't know if it's going to change soon, but I think it will change. And I think it's a situation where right now this club has had some success early in the year, and they, at this point, still feel like they can push and contend to be a playoff team. And in situations like that, when you're wanting to win games, you're going to rely on veterans. That's just the way coaches work. Guys that have experience and guys that, you know, are going to make mistakes, but maybe are more used to not making them a second time or a third time and are able to quickly adapt and learn from them. I think that's a big part of why we've seen Jake Virtanen have limited minutes and also limited time in games, of course, being healthy scratched, is the fact that they want to bring him on and they want his development to work. And I'm sure there's lots of things that they want him to work on in his game, but they're still looking at winning games in the present. And Travis Green is a first-year head coach. Of course, he's going to be motivated to try and, you know, prove all the naysayers wrong and have this team contend and push and make the playoffs eventually. So I think what we'll see is if this club slides and if we get into the new year, into January or February, and they're out of playoff contention and maybe they trade some guys away prior to the deadline, that's when there's going to be opportunity for some of these young players to get some more minutes and to be a bigger part of the lineup. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that Jake isn't playing a ton at the moment. I think Travis Green, probably better than anyone, has an idea of how Jake Virtanen works, having worked with him in Utica last year and been a big part of his resurgence in his career. And I'm sure Travis is well aware of player development being a big part of this season as well. So they're going to bring Jake along a little bit slowly here, although he's getting a pretty good opportunity to play with the Sedins. And I think sometimes his limited minutes go part and parcel with the fact that Daniel and Henrik are getting limited minutes too, which is another storyline altogether. But out on the road, from what I've seen from the Vancouver coaching staff so far, they're more content to roll lines. And as a result, I would imagine Virtanen's minutes go up a little bit here on the trip. But he's a guy that has to have an impact, and whether that's physically, as he talked about when he was out of the lineup coming in and trying to lay the body and be an impact that way, or using his speed to create opportunities. If he's not doing that on a night-to-night basis, then they're going to sit down and have some long chats with him, and that's why he's going to be absent from the lineup. And I think in many ways, the limited minutes for him are more about teaching, which is not something you're as worried about with veteran players.
Sportsnet 650.